You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You can always be part of the conversation. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We're currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that we still call Twitter. Still ahead, we are going back into the Nightlight Movie Club this evening for our fourth installment. We will be talking about the film The Breakfast Club, written and directed by the late great John Hughes. And then we'll wrap it all up with The Nightcap, so don't go anywhere. We're having fun, but now, right meow, it's time to get back. Thank you. That, by the way, that was Pete Schwabba giving me that courtesy.
I left. What are you? Come on. That's genuine.
That was a definite pizza farm moment.
It's a great show so far.
Thanks, guys. Really, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Dom feels awkward when mom and dad fight. So
it's true.
It's the peacemaker.
And up the coast, but yeah, I should have done this, but this is good radio, by the way. I'm coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine, all the way up the coast in Marinette, a.k.a. Christmas City, USA, is Mr. Pete Schwabba. And then completing the Yaderhey Triangle in Madison at HQ is Mr. Dom Lee on the ones and twos, and we appreciate you being here tonight. Again, leave a comment on the live stream. Give us a call. Let us know your thoughts on the question of the night, and let's restate that question, Dom. Not only is it National Talk Like Shakespeare Day, but it's also National Bucket List Day. So what is in your bucket list? Call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Again, leave a comment on that live stream. You can also text, call, or leave a voice message on the Civic Media app. If you don't have the app, download it wherever you find apps. You can listen to shows live. You can get your news. You can, again, get in contact with us. You can get, That's all the things you can do.
Everything.
A lot of stuff. And when we have text to win contests, you can take part in those as well. So get that Civic Media app and get us in your life. We'd love to hear from you. All right. National Bucket List Day, guys.
What do you guys say?
I have an answer. I have an answer.
Oh, Dom has. Okay, let's go. We're going right to Madison for Dom Lee's answer.
I got to go the World Cup. And I know it's coming up. But that's part of my – I want to go see at least one game part of the World Cup because, again, I'm a big soccer fan, and it's so expensive. But I got to go at least once in my lifetime. But it's unfortunate.
That's great.
It's unfortunate.
What about you, Pete? What is it – wait, did you say it's fortune or what?
It's unfortunate that it's in the U.S. this year, but I still can't go see it because it's just so expensive. But
in due time. Understood. Pete Schwabba, what is on your bucket list?
I picked something that was attainable and kind of something I already did, but I'd like to do it again. And it's I would like to take my time this time. Oh. So it's Route 66. My son and I took it when we left LA and came to Wisconsin, but we were kind of in a hurry. And there are so many little towns on Route 66 where the hotels, people just left. At least this was the case 14 years ago. Maybe they've cleaned them up, but it's truly a road that America forgot, and there are great spots still along there, and it's just a great kind of drive through history. There's a lot of other stuff I'd like to do, but I feel like that one is the most attainable.
It's interesting because I've driven Route 66, both the old version and the modern version now, because I was driving from LA to Milwaukee for our friend Johnny Beaner. I was driving his car from...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was... It was very interesting because there were some areas that were trying to retain that Route 66 look. And then there were just some places were like, come to the new Route 66. We got a brand new casino and a hotel and blah, blah. And like, so it's really kind of, I mean, I don't want to like, you know, yuck your yum, but like there is a sense of like, okay, this, some of it's still trying to hold on. And I would definitely say go for it, but I would say plot out exactly where you like if you're looking for history, find out where the actual history is and go there versus be like, we're just going to go on Route 66 because who knows? And so, but it was fun and it's a beautiful drive. I loved it. It was very, very cool.
It's mostly in like New Mexico. There's Tucumcari and those cities where they base the film Cars off of, which was one of my son's favorite movies at the time. So yeah, you're absolutely right about that though.
It is. New Mexico is an interesting place to drive through because like half of the state is just gorgeous. And then the other half just becomes nothing. It's just right. flat and boring. You're like, what happened to pretty New Mexico? They're like, that was 50 miles that away. So, all right. So, okay. So that'd be a more planned out trip of Route 66. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I think for me, you know, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff, but like one of the things I would really love to do is I'd love to go to a Grand Slam, a tennis Grand Slam, whether it's the U.S. Open or the French Open or, you know, Wimbledon. I would love to go to one of those. And I'm very excited because this year I'm going to the Cincinnati Open. My wife gave me a very, very generous birthday slash Christmas slash birthday slash Christmas slash birthday for next 5 years present of... There is a major tournament in Cincinnati every year in August, and she got me a ticket to see it, and I cannot wait because I have never seen live tennis. And this isn't like, come see like the locals. This is the same superstars who play at the Grand Slams will be at this event as well. So it's going to be a blast. I'm going with my brother-in-law, so we're going to have so much fun.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Were you a tennis player? Fantastic. Were you a tennis player back in the day?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, honestly, no, no. If you saw me in real life, folks, you'd be like, he never played tennis. No, honestly, for me, my love for tennis, it came from the fact that I was homesick from work one day and I just happened to turn on, I think it was the French Open, the famous game. Oh my gosh, Roger Federer and I can't remember his name right now.
King Nadal? Of Clay.
Nadal, yes. Rafael Nadal. And it was like a 5.5 hour match. And I just was riveted. I mean, tennis is a hard game to watch because the points are weird and it's like, and when you come from nothing on it, like you have no idea what's going on, you have to teach yourself. But right. I love watching tennis. I could watch it all day long.
Yeah, that's awesome. I like live tennis is fantastic. Even when my daughter played in high school. Those were fun matches to watch. So why don't we get to some text? We got a lot of Facebook comments. I know we've got some text line stuff. Tom, how are we looking there?
Yeah, we're doing good on the text line. We have Dan from White House that said Valley of the Kings is where he wants to go on his bucket list.
Oh, okay. So that's what that meant. I saw that. I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah, I think it's in Egypt, and I think it's like a canyon. So yeah, it's really cool. Really cool.
Oh, that's a great bucket list.
Yeah. Brett from Brown Deer said, the only thing left on my bucket list is going to Brazil. That and outliving Trump. Don't want to miss that celebration.
Oh, hang in there, Brett.
You're great.
And then let's see what we got here. Andrew from Maine says, bucket list. Currently have 2 mop buckets plus 1 5-gal Homer bucket and an off-brand 5-gal bucket to hold my sand and salt mix. One for the front door and one for the back porch.
Oh, mental note, next time specify bucket list.
Hey, that's Andrew from Maine, what's something you've always wanted to do?
There you go.
There we go.
That's doing the question.
Let's see here. This is kind of pertaining to your aunt endeavor.
My Greg. Aunt? Oh, which one? Sherry? Barb?
your
Charlotte?
Aunt.
Gotcha.
Great, yeah, great Brett, aunt names. Yeah, Brett from Brown Deer also said, I was a pest exterminator and roaches are the worst to kill off. Greg, you did the right thing cleaning away their trail.
It was a lot of scrubbing. There was a lot of scrubbing. I mean, I washed there were some pots and pans I had to wash like 5 times. It was not fun. For those who didn't catch that story earlier in the show, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows, go to Nightlight, and you can download episodes, listen to them at your leisure. But I had a little bit of an ant problem this morning, and I spent the better part of this day scrubbing and cleaning, sweating and sweeping. And Swiffer, you owe me a free Swiffer. Now, thank you, Brett.
Let's see what else we got. We have Anna from Madison said, hi, Pete and Greg. 2 things on my bucket list are to go to the Grand Canyon and Key West.
Nice.
Very good. Very good.
Oh, I'd love to go to Key West.
Anna, the Grand Canyon will make you cry.
That's pretty cool.
Really?
And Key West is amazing. It's amazing. It's so fun. It's so small.
Where is Key West?
Florida. It's Florida.
Oh, it's in Florida.
So way out. It's bottom.
It's the southernmost point of America.
Really? Okay. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm.
We also have, Dom, we had one from Andrew who says also, didn't the movie The Bucket List include last night's question star Jack Nicholson?
Ah, ha, ha.
I didn't know he was in that. I forgot about
callback.
Yeah. Let's see what else we got. We got Monica from Mount Horeb said her bucket list is to publish a story, a graphic novel, a book, something. Really good.
Do it.
Nice.
Amazing.
Do it. I believe in you, Monica. I believe in you.
Absolutely.
And then we also have Brett from Brown Deer. Oh, man, this is going to be a tough one to say. I didn't know it was Shakespeare Day. In that case, let me say, when if thou my duty to eliminate thine pests, thou shalt have thine greatest battles amongst roaches.
Nice. Wow, Brett from Brown Deer. By the way, the inventor of the Yoder Hay Triangle. Brett is the inventor of the Yoder Hay Triangle.
Good point.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep. We also have Chris from Madison said, for my bucket list, I'd like to experience a supernatural encounter, like Bigfoot, UFO, ghost, something cool like that, preferably earlier in life so I can write a book about it.
Okay. That might be the last thing you actually do if you encounter one of those things coming in out of the water.
I want to experience Smallfoot. There's got to be if there's Bigfoot, there has to be Smallfoot out there, right?
He's probably self-conscious about it, too. Yeah.
You're right. I don't want to bring it up. You're right. I'm sorry. I apologize. Smallfoot, if you're out there, I apologize. You're great. You're beautiful no matter what.
Let's see what else we got. We still got more texts. We got David from Richland Center said, see the orange Oompa Loompa finally go to jail. Okay.
Same here. Right. Same here.
Eric from Madison said, see the Brewers play in the World Series in Milwaukee. He still calls it.
That's got to be on yours too, Greg, I would think, right?
Oh, my God. If anything, just to shut up Cubs fans and Dodger fans and every other fan who has
not
a ring.
Not going to happen.
Whatever. You'll always have 2016.
Right. 108 years.
We got Carol from Madison said camping to and from Alaska, canoeing part of the boundary waters, going to Antarctica and to the Galapagos Islands. Wow.
That's a bucket list, Carol.
Great bucket list. And let's see. We got one more. We got Chris, our buddy Chris in Madison, who said watch the Vikings win the Super Bowl in person.
Hey Pete, you want to take this one or should I do it?
You know what? We can both chime in because I will say this. I know the Brewers haven't won a World Series yet, but
ever.
Chris's team has been there four times. Just like Buffalo, they've never won. That's almost more painful, Greg. I don't know.
No, I don't know.
Get to see it, but you know.
We went to the World Series once and we lost, and now every 5 years we celebrate that. You know, I just like to win once. I think that there's been a great teams and they deserve it, but whatever, it's fine. I'm with you.
Good luck, Chris, and good luck, Greg. I hope you guys both get to see your bucket list things. We got a few comments on, we got a lot of comments on Facebook. I'll get through a few here before we go to break. Boris Hamilton says the birthplace of the hamburger Lewis Lunch in New Haven, Connecticut. And our own John Scott says he can verify. My joke was, does every state claim to have the birthplace of the hamburger? And John Scott kind of confirmed what Boris said. He said, if it didn't start there, it was like one of the very first places. Tim Baker says, get a new bucket. Smart ass. Amanda Nimmer says, really want to visit Salem someday. And because my birthmark is shaped like it, Australia too. Oh, that's good. Amanda just
never
gave
want to
us
go to
a
Australia.
Lot of personal information.
I want to go to New Zealand, though.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to go to New... Dude, I will do that with you. The nightlight... Yeah. The night like young Christian singles bus trip to New Zealand. Think about it, Greg.
Okay. I'm neither young nor Christian, but I'll go. I'll go. I'll chaperone.
It'd be fun to be on a bus over there.
Exactly. All right. When we come back, we're going to be going back into the movie club. This time, The Breakfast Club. Don't go anywhere. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network, and welcome to the Nightlight Movie Club, where we talk about one classic film. We get your thoughts on it. We give our thoughts. We talk about some trivia. We have some good times. And tonight, the movie we are celebrating is the John Hughes classic, The Breakfast Club, released in 1985, starring really the core of the Brat Pack, if you will.
Yeah.
You've got Judd Nelson, Ally Sheedy, Emilio Estevez, Anthony Michael Hall, as well as Molly Ringwald. So we're going to be talking about this movie now, and we would love to hear from you. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can leave a comment on that live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube and the platform we still call Twitter. And if you have the Civic Media app, you can call, text, leave a voice message. But we'd love to hear from you. Love to hear your thoughts on this absolutely iconic classic movie that is celebrating now 41 years.
Wow.
41 How about that? Years. Yeah. Pete, how old were you when you saw this movie for the first time? Did you see it in the theater or did you see it like a lot of people like on TV or on
video? I think
I
was like 16. I don't know that I saw it in the theater. And I don't think I saw 16 Candles in the theater either. I you know, I'm a huge John Hughes fan. I loved Vacation when that came out. He wrote that. And Mr. Mom, he wrote. But
oh, my God, Mr. Mom.
A classic. Yeah, and I don't think I saw this. And I got to be honest. Here's where I'm at with this movie. I left Chicago in junior high, and I went to a very small Catholic high school up here. And when I saw these John Hughes movies back in my, not my stomping grounds, because I lived in the city of Chicago, but my aunts and uncles went to Glenbrook North where they shot this. And I was kind of envious of these huge suburban high schools, just primarily because I missed the big city, but they just looked like they were having so much fun. And then when I got to college, a lot of my friends were from suburban Chicago and they said, oh, we used to actually have breakfast clubs. I felt kind of left out. Oh, isn't that weird?
It's not weird. That's normal. I understand that. Also, wait a minute. You're telling me there's no such place as Shermer, Illinois?
There used to be, Greg. I know the history of this because of his connection to Northbrook, but I think it used to be before they renamed it. I think it was Shermerville. And he shortened it to Shermer. I think it actually was a place, to be honest with you.
There's a great scene in the movie Dogma. Kevin Smith wrote and directed where Jay and Silent Bob are sitting in a diner. And their whole reason why they're in the place they're wanting to be is because they watched The Breakfast Club. And they were like, oh, man, we can go there and sell drugs to all those high school kids. And they take a bus all the way to Illinois. And they find out there's no such place as Shermer, Illinois. It is so, so, so good. So written and directed by John Hughes. For folks who don't know, I mean, John Hughes is, I mean, he is like one of the movies, honestly, a movie that gets slept on a lot that we don't talk about too, is Only the Lonely, which I think was one of his last films, but he has his roots in National Lampoon magazine. Yeah. He was a writer. He wrote, and in fact, the movie, the story that would become Vacation was actually written for that magazine years before that. So he was like a prolific
writer.
His
own family's vacation.
His own family vacation. Exactly. So John Hughes is like, I mean, he is, I remember when he died, people were devastated.
Yeah.
Because he's such an integral part for a lot of folks. Like, I mean, honestly, it doesn't matter when you grew up because you come to that point where you watch The Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, and all these other films, Uncle Buck.
Yeah.
You know? And they just kind of
Trains and Automobiles.
Yeah, they stick with you. Those movies stick with you. And so it felt like you were almost like losing a family member. Like you're like, oh, what could we have had? So I'm happy we're talking about this movie tonight.
Oh, I mean, totally.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's also like, in terms of being prolific, Woody Allen was pretty prolific, but John Hughes, with what he did just from a writing standpoint, was amazing. And I don't know if you ever saw a movie called She's Having a Baby with Kevin Bacon and Elizabeth McGovern. Really sweet film. He wrote that based on his own experience being a young copywriter in Chicago. The Jake character was based on his experience with young kids at home, I think. And then he started writing movies. And oh my gosh, did this guy have a career?
That movie is so I always think about one thing about that movie at the end. So it's the whole premise is they're having a kid, and at the end of the movie, during the credits, they're asking all these random people, celebrities and people who have worked with John Hughes in other movies, what should they name the baby? And everyone's giving their thoughts and like, you know, and it's a really funny part, but I'll never forget the kid from The Great Outdoors, again, written by John Hughes.
Wow.
He just goes, Bill a whack a day for longer, Amsterdam and Ashkenina. And I've never forgotten that as long as I live.
They did that.
For me, John Hughes is so like, it's like weird. Like I was watching the movie and I'm looking at this list. I mean, like literally people talk about 16 Candles, The Breakfast Club, Vacation. But like, again, Uncle Buck, Home Alone, Dutch, Beethoven. I mean, like it's like he is involved in so Beethoven. Many films.
And Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, you know, I don't think he directed that one, but that's a perfect movie almost. There is
in
that movie.
He directed, produced, and wrote it. So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, his legacy is almost untouchable, like in terms of comedy, whether it was writing or directing, just really great stuff. But, and he wrote about stuff that was important to him or close to home, mm-hmm. With his experience, which is probably where the best stories come out of. But 16 Candles is another one I didn't see till later, but The Breakfast Club is what we're talking about tonight. A great film, a great cast. And I would love to get you guys, maybe after the news, but just hear your thoughts on it as a movie. It's definitely iconic. It's definitely a classic. But there's a lot of other John Hughes movies I liked more than that one, frankly.
Really? Well, and one of the things, too, we're going to do when we come back from after the news break is talk to Dom about this, because it was Dom's pick.
Yeah. Yep.
We asked him if there were any movies, and he picked The Breakfast Club. So we probably should have let him talk this past 7.5 minutes, but we didn't.
Well done. Because, well, Dom.
Because we're old men who don't like the rock and roll music. So, but when we come back after the news break, we're going to talk more about The Breakfast Club in Nightlights Movie Club. Get Dom's thoughts. Get your thoughts. Be part of the conversation. Reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. You're listening and or watching Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on Civic Media. Stay tuned. Stay close. Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. We are coming to you live from all over Wisconsin. I am in Radio Park in Racine. Up the coast, Pete Schwabe is in Marinette, a.k.a. Christmas City, USA. And then all the way over in Madison at world headquarters of Civic Media is Mr. Dom Lee, completing the Yoder Hay Triangle. We are in the movie club this week, and tonight's selection is The Breakfast Club, written, directed, and produced by Mr. John Hughes. R.I.P., we miss him dearly. Pete and I were talking a great deal in the last segment of what we thought about the movie, but honestly, I want to start right now with Dom, because this was Dom's pick, and we asked him last week, what do you want to do for the movie club? Or you have any thoughts? And he said The Breakfast Club, and I'm like, done, let's do it. So, Dom, two questions. Mm-hmm. What made you pick this, and what did you think about the movie?
Well, the first question, I'm going to answer this, is because I heard all about it. I hear all about The Breakfast Club, you know, and people were saying, my parents were like, oh, you should really watch it. Never did. And finally, this was a great opportunity to do that. And it was great. And what was your second question?
Nope, we're done. All right, folks, have a great night. That's been Nightlight with Pete. I said, what did you think about it?
It was really, really good. I really enjoyed it. I didn't know that's what detention was like, and I still don't know if that's exactly how it was depicted in the movie and from back then, because I was in detention a few times, and it was not the same at all.
We had two levels of detention in my high school. There was after school detention, which was very much like go to detention, that kind of thing, and then we did have Saturday detention, but really? You had to mess up hard. Like there was, like you did something real, real stupid and you could get Saturday detention.
Wow. I had no idea about that, because you see Bender and see all of the characters kind of do their own thing. And you would never think that. Were your detentions in like a library, like that sense, or was it in a classroom? Cause mine was also in just like a simple classroom.
After school detention was in one single classroom in the school. I never did Saturday detention, so I do not know. My guess is probably in the library, some study hall type of thing. But yeah, it was basically just like, oh, going to detention, we got to go to room 201. And
I got to say, I really like the characters. I think that's what I liked more than the actual like plot of it. I think I really liked Paul Gleason, who was just kind of like really good.
Such a good bad guy.
Yeah, his like back and forth with Bender was really, really good. And yeah, I really enjoyed the flick. I watched it last night and I was happy. I was happy with it. Yeah.
Good.
It's great that Bender, in my opinion, you know, You could say, oh, they took a leap, they wouldn't all be friends or whatever. But like, when I went to detention, nobody ever talked, obviously. Usually there was a teacher. But it's Bender that gets the whole story because he's so obnoxious. And he's this cry for help is his character.
Yeah,
he's got such a bad home life. He starts needling people, which is his way of wanting attention back. And even getting you to hate him was acceptance on some level. So he kind of makes the whole story plausible because he's just giving everybody a hard time. And it's even believable when Ally Sheedy's character starts to come around the way they do that. So it's brilliantly written. And those, you're right, Greg. I mean, those are the Rat Packers. Brad Pack, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Dean Martin was not in this. Anthony Michael Hall, I think, is probably my favorite character just because he's funny. And you also, he has a big dramatic moment at the end, too, when he says why he's there. It was, I forgot about that.
I mean, if you take Bender out of the equation, they're all sitting there looking at their sheets of paper all day long. That's it. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I really like about the film, too, is that it takes every character. And they're only, I mean, if you don't count the parents and the, like, from the beginning, you've got the five kids. You've got Carl, the janitor, and you've got Paul Gleason. You got seven. I mean, this could be a stage play, honestly. Right. But they humanize every single one of those characters. And you want to hate the principal when I saw this movie way too young. I saw it in like late 80s, so I was like not even 10 years old. And you hate Paul Gleason, you hate the principal. Right. Mm-hmm. And you're getting older now and you're like, I see where he's coming from, but he gets points in the movie where he gets to be humanized by Carl the janitor, who, by the way, two things about that. One, something people don't notice is that if you look closely when they're looking at like faces, like at the beginning of the movie, they're showing like faces and like the trophy case, his picture is in there. He went to that high school. He's the janitor of his own high school. And there was more to that story they cut out. Like there was like a bigger role for him in that film to give him more of a pivotal sense of like, it's sort of like he's the janitor. He controls the space, but they cut that all. But still every character has their own moment where they get to be real. And I think that's very, very important.
That's so great. He's a great actor too, John Kaplos. Mm-hmm. He's from Canada. John Candy's his idol. We were talking about John Candy.
He was in 16 Candles.
16 Candles, and he was hilarious in 16 Candles. And he was the sniffing accountant on Seinfeld. It was such a great one-show role. But yeah, he's very funny. And I heard that I read this on IMDb Pro, that they originally cast Rick Moranis.
Oh, wow.
As the janitor, and the producer pleaded with John Hughes not to go that route because Moranis grew a beard or whatever. Perfect casting, though. And just a great character. Mellow, not cookie cutter. You know, and you're right, he does humanize the principal. Do you guys have a favorite character?
I got to go with Ally Sheedy. I gotta go.
Why is that?
Because she doesn't have a whole lot of dialogue. She starts opening up later on, but I don't know. She's just really funny when she's like biting her nails and they're saying like, "Oh, you have lunch still." I don't know. I guess it was a little bit of like I empathize with her too. I was like, I didn't talk as much either back in high school. So I think Ally is my favorite character.
I always gravitated, which is weird because I was not this guy in high school. I wasn't Bender. I wasn't any of these kids in high school. Like I was parts of Ally Sheedy, parts of Bender to a point, but did not come from that home life. And I would not like, but like, I was like a long haired metal kid, but Andrew, because he's trying so hard throughout the movie to be strong and exactly what his dad tells him to do. And that unpacking of the lunches to this day, if I pack a big lunch to work, I'll be like, man, I'm really packing an Andrew lunch today because it's just like tons of stuff in there. But and when he has his turn to talk about why he's there, like I've watched that movie 30 times. I cry every single time he does that speech. I love the Andrew character so much. Yeah. We do have a couple clips from the movies. Dom, which one do you want to pull up first?
Well, I would say probably when Bender was in the ceiling. What do you say?
Yeah, because I want to ask Pete. I want to ask Pete about this one too. I pulled this one specifically to talk to Pete about. Go ahead.
That's it.
Is there a punchline, Pete? Have you ever heard this joke, or do you think they made this up specifically for the movie? I mean, to me, it is the biggest non sequitur. Like they're in the principal's office, they're in the file room, they're in the library, but this scene is just like one and done. That's it. And it like, you're like, wait, where's the punchline?
Yeah, I did think that the other day when I was watching. I was like, oh, yeah, I always used to wonder about that joke because I've never heard it. And maybe it's not even a joke. Maybe it's something John Hughes wrote to be a non-sequitur. But yeah, that's a great, I don't know.
And he falls down, and it's just it's a great moment of, like, patience because he falls down. Everyone freaks out. He comes in. He goes, forgot my pen. And he goes, right. Come on, man. Love it. Love it. Love it.
It's a great scene too when I think my favorite scene in the movie is either when Ally Sheedy is telling Molly Ringwald she's not a virgin and then she says I am a virgin. It was just really well done, and what kids I think do to each other sometimes. Yeah. I also love the scene where Bender and Vernon, Principal Vernon, are going back and forth and he keeps adding a Saturday. And Bender's trying to be tough and cool and say, give me another one, give me. And then he realizes, oh my God, and you kind of see it on his face. Like, John Nelson's a good actor, right? He kind of, he never really went away, but I wouldn't say he achieved the stardom some of the other Brad Packers did, you know, but that was a great scene too.
You really, like, as an adult, and if you know anything about, like, you know, trauma or therapy, you're watching this almost adult kid in this movie. He's like 16, 17, almost 18 years old. My guess is like he's an adult at that point because, based on what he's talking about his family, like he doesn't like whatever, but you see this struggling little boy trying so hard. Like he's doing all this stuff to be like, please love me, please love me, please love me. Instead, he's acting out. It's just, yeah, it's really, really interesting. Dom, was there anything that stood out for you?
I gotta say, I kind of agree with you, Pete, when it was when Bender says something to Paul Gleason and they keep going back and forth, and Bender had this to say. I thought that was pretty funny. I thought that was good. Yeah. That was good.
Yeah, I mean, just the back and forth. There's like a lot of like, it's just really wonderful, wonderful dialogue. There's one more cut that we have that this is one I think in my brain all the time, but this is another back and forth between Bender and the principal. I have said impossible, sir. It's in Johnson's underwear with no, there's no reason why I just say it, because it's so funny to me. Because again, these lines are delivered with such dry wit and just so like, oh, it's so great. I love it. I love this movie.
Here's a couple fun facts for you guys. Yeah. When it comes to the part of Bender, Nicolas Cage was originally considered for Bender, but he was too expensive at the time. And then John Cusack was originally actually cast as Bender, but Hughes decided to replace him with Judd Nelson. It's amazing. Like, you get a big star like John Cusack.
Yeah.
And they still replaced him. Hughes wrote the screenplay in 2 days in July of 1982. Unbelievable. And Judd Nelson stayed in character even off camera, even bullying Molly Ringwald. Hughes almost fired him, but Paul Gleason, Principal Vernon, talked Hughes out of it, saying that's just his character, like, which kind of shows you the decency of John Hughes on some level, but also that he understood the process and probably if Molly Ringwald was okay with it, you know.
Well, honestly, she wasn't. She was 16 years old when the movie came out, and she has spoken about her experience and how, like, she has fond memories of the movies, but there are moments of that where, like, this was not good. There are moments in the movie and moments filming the movie that she felt really uncomfortable, and that's for a whole other conversation.
Was she really 16?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
She was a kid. Wow. Like, she started acting, she was 10. But great, great film. And if you folks have any other thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can, of course, leave a comment on that live stream. But we're bringing to close another edition of the Movie Club. Stay tuned for announcement for the next one coming up in the next day or two. But when we come back, it's time for the Nightcap here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. Stay tuned. Stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's time to wind it down. This is Nightcap with Greg and Pete.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You can always get in touch with us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can leave a comment on that live stream. Where are we streaming? Glad you asked. We're on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. You can also get in touch with us if you download the Civic Media app. You can call, text, leave a voice message, and you can also listen live. You can get your news. It's great. Download it today. And you can also take part in Text to Win contests when they happen, which will be coming down the pike in just a few more weeks. But don't tell anyone I told you. We have a great, great show for you tomorrow. It is Friday, which means what, guys?
It's casual.
It's casual.
There it is. Wow. Okay. Wow. We did not rehearse that. It is Casual Friday. We're going to be having a really great show for you lined up. We'll be talking to Dr. Nathaniel Schwartz on Alcohol Awareness Month. We know it's April, so we want to make sure people are aware. I mean, not aware of alcohol. We know you are. It's Wisconsin, for goodness sake. But we'll be talking to Dr. Schwartz about that tomorrow. So please tune in for that. That would be great to hear from you. And also, any last minute thoughts, ideas on The Breakfast Club, part of our Nightlight Movie Club, or what is on your bucket list? You can give us a call, give us a text. We'd love to know what you would like to put out there in the world as far as visiting, achieving, whatever that may be. But while you're thinking about that, let's get to some last-minute messages on Facebook, as well as anything we have in the text line. Pete, what do we have on Facebook?
We've got Dick, who said, to visit Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach on April Fool's Day to discuss our legacy on pregame scoring that we both enjoyed. Dick and I argued over who scored more pregame points on our basketball team. So that's attainable. Mike Desitel says, to not kick the bucket. JB says, to be a regular radio show with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. Okay, JB. You've been on the show, though, dude. You're basically a regular.
Also, Mike Desitel, you want to die. I'm sorry to be dark, but you don't want to stay over. That's not point. Good. No, right. Thank you. No, thank
that's
you.
That's a tall order. Yeah. Tim Joyce says, see every country I can. Love that one. Vince Morano says, see Sicily. Daniel Wheeler, I've always wanted to try the Frisco burger from Hardee's. Talk about attainable.
Wow.
Love it.
Wow.
Cracks me up.
It's Sean, the big arch of other burgers.
Of a different establishment.
Yeah.
Sean says, actually making a bucket list. Dave Hendricks says, 4 half-gallon buckets, 2 5-gallon buckets, 1 gallon bucket of French vanilla ice cream for when I have a sad time alone. Our pal Rich Locasio says, going to all 30 major league ballparks.
Yeah,
once I visit them all, I want to go to all of them again, but in a span of 30 days.
Okay. Wow. He's quirky. I want to see all the ballparks, but I'm going to say between now and whenever. I'm not giving myself a time frame.
That's a tall order. 30 ballparks.
That's possible.
Richard says, see Picasso's famous painting, Guernica? I'm probably not saying that right. And Jay Campbell says, see all the national parks. Another great one.
That's another great one.
Really good.
I know we have one more. I think we have one more text on the text line there, Dom.
Yeah, Mark from Prairie du Sac. He said, unrelated to The Breakfast Club, but your promo of a movie about an unexploding bomb reminded me of a 5 million years to Earth, or the other name, Quartermain in the Pit, finding in prehistoric craft spaceship with grasshopper-like Martians. That'd be really cool.
Jeez. Wow.
Be a cool bucket.
We have one stream comment too. I think we missed from.
Oh no, we read that one. We read that during the interview with Rachel. I've talked about the tennis stuff, but I will say this: I also would love to visit Japan and Italy one day. India and Japan. I would love to go to those two countries. Yeah,
I'll take Italy. I'll go to Italy.
There you go. You can have
Japan.
It. It's still there. It's still there.
Osaka's a great city. I would love to go there too.
The way you made it sound like you've been there. You're like, it's a great city, and then you're like, I've heard
other people.
I thought you were city dropping too. I didn't know what was.
Yeah, my goodness. Oh my gosh. So thank you everyone for getting in touch with us. We love hearing from all of y'all. Pete, what did you learn tonight?
It was such a crazy. I learned some really cool places to get food in Milwaukee, which I'm always looking for. So thanks to Rachel for that.
Absolutely, yeah. And if you didn't hear that interview with Rachel from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, she's their food critic, go to civicmedia.us/shows, look for Nightlight, download episodes. Our back catalog is there for your enjoyment and your leisure. So go there, find that, and catch up. Dom, what about you?
I learned that John Hughes, he has done a lot of stuff with movies, directed, wrote. I mean, I had no idea. I'm too young.
Look at his career on IMDb from like 82 to 89. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's like 18 movies. Like, it's not even possible. It's insane. That was a great choice, Tom. Yeah.
There is a great documentary. I think it's on Netflix about the National Lampoon, the magazine. It's an inception to where it is nowadays, which is nothing basically. But it's a great section there about John Hughes talking about he came into the later years, but he kind of revitalized it with all of his writing. And yeah, I mean, like, I don't disagree. I think, you know, going back and, you know, you think to yourself, oh, John Hughes, he's great. And then you watch the movie and you look up his work and you see how much he did. You're like, oh no, he was important.
Like, yeah.
And the fact that he's gone just breaks my heart even more so. But
die young, like early 50s, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Something like that.
Yep. And the other thing, too, we didn't talk about, he hated Hollywood. He hated the system. He hated the all the stuff that goes into it. He wanted to write movies, make movies. I don't think he lived in Hollywood. I think he lived in the Midwest with his family. But like, I respect anybody who can buck the system while being successful. I think that's very cool. So
pretty tough to do.
Yeah. As far as what I learned that Milwaukee is going to get some Michelin star love, hopefully. Oh, yeah. And that's great. I think the more that Wisconsin is known for the great things they have, specifically food, it'll bring people here. I think that's very important. And I'm very happy that Rachel was on the show to tell us that. So with that being said, on behalf of Pete, I'd love to thank Dom and Tucker, engineering, traffic, for all the work they do. They make sure that the show goes smoothly and these mics are operational. Want to thank everybody who called, texted, left a comment on the live stream. You are what makes it fun. Without you, there is no us. Again, tomorrow we'll be talking to Dr. Nathaniel Schwartz on Alcohol Awareness Month, which is right now in April. So tune in for that. For Casual Friday, we'll have great discussions. And there may be not a quiz, but a questionnaire.
What?
I know. You'll have to tune in to find out. But with that being said, Pete, say goodnight to the people.
Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.